Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Amma ba'd. Fa inna khayral hadith kitabullah wa khayral hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس منا من لم يرحم صغيرنا ولم يؤكر كبيرنا. Dear brothers and sisters, I notice, alhamdulillah, that there are a lot of youngsters here today. So today's khutbah, inshallah, is going to be a message, especially for the youngsters, but the lessons are also applicable to the elders amongst us. May Allah Azza wa Jalla allow us to speak the truth and then to act upon it, inshallah. The time is the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba around him are those which are old in age, those which are middle-aged, and those which are children, youngsters. One particular Sahabi, Malik ibn Huwayrith radiallahu ta'ala, he comes to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he stays with him 20 days and 20 nights. And he observes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, Kana rahiman rafiqan. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was the most merciful of people, the most kindest of people. And it was from the mercy and the kindness of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he used to give the youngsters lessons around him. He used to give them advices. So today we want to look at some of the very important advices that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave to the youngsters, thus being merciful to them. And it's very important that we pay attention to these advices, because these are words of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the companion's name is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. He is a young companion. His mother has gifted him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is a cousin of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is at the age of 10 plus, and he's riding with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Rasul, from his mercy, looks at him and says, Inni u'allimuka kalimat, I'm going to teach you, young boy, some words today. So pay attention to these words. So the Prophet is teaching the young companion, the young Sahabi. He says, Ihfadillah yahfadak, safeguard Allah. Safeguard and remember Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal will safeguard and remember you. And then, seek Allah tajidhu tujahak. Seek Allah Azza wa Jal and you will find Him before you. Iza sa'alta fas'alillah. This is the first lesson of today's khutbah. Whenever you need something, young man, whenever you have a su'al, ask Allah Azza wa Jal alone. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And whenever you're in a difficulty, whenever the world has overcome you, or you feel agitated, or you need something, ask Allah and ask Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. Why? Because if all the people gathered and they try to benefit you, they can't benefit you بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. They can't benefit you with anything unless Allah wants to benefit you. And if they all gather together, the whole dunya, the entire creation, and they try to harm you, they can't harm you unless Allah Azza wa Jalla has written the harm for you. Rufi'at al-aqlam wa jaffat al-sukhuf. The pen has been lifted and the ink has dried, meaning that which has been written is written, you can't change it. So there's many benefits from this for our youngsters today in this khutbah. Look at the lesson our Prophet, the most merciful and beloved Prophet, is giving to the Sahabi at a very young age. And he is giving them the sabr, the knowledge of ilm, he is giving them the knowledge of tawheed, the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. That when you get older through your life, you're going to face many difficulties. You will probably face many hardships. But never turn away from Allah Azza wa Jal. Ask Allah and you'll always find Him there answering your call. وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي كَرِيمُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. Ask of me and I will respond to you. So he's drilling into the Sahabi, the young Sahabi, this lesson, this ilm. This hadith is all about knowledge. The knowledge of the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And when we're young, we allow things to overcome us sometimes. Maybe we've got an exam around the corner. Or maybe we've tried to do a project and we fail it, or we fail an exam and we become overwhelmed. Or maybe we think that so-and-so person is against us, or so-and-so thing is against us, and we give up. What did the Rasul say to this companion? He said, keep your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. You will find Allah Azza wa Jal answering your call, and don't worry about the people who are trying to harm you. Because benefit and harm is only with Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So this was a tremendous lesson to this companion. And who's this companion? Abdullah ibn Abbas, brothers and young sisters. And dear audience, who is Abdullah ibn Abbas? It's all about knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a special dua for him. The hadith is recorded in Sahih Bukhari. Allahumma yufaqihu fi deen. He said, oh Allah, teach him the understanding of this religion. And teach him, وَيَلِمُ التَّعْوِيلِ, and teach him the interpretation of this religion. And it's not a coincidence that this young Sahabi impressed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa so much that Rasul made his dua. And this is one of the Sahaba who is the greatest narrators of the tafsir of the Quran for us today. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. And it's not a coincidence that in later life, in the time of the Khilafah of Ali radiallahu ta'ala, there was a fitna, a trial that the Muslims had to face. And that was the trial of the people known as the Khawarij. For the youngsters, the Khawarij are the people who throw people out of Islam without any just cause, and they cause bloodshed, and they cause fitna on the earth. The Khawarij are present today as well. They're causing bloodshed, they kill innocent people. May Allah save us from them. We have to be aware of these groups so we can stay away from them. They emerged and they began in the time of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So many companions alive. Who did Ali choose radiallahu ta'ala and to go and debate and to go and speak to the Khawarij? The same companion who was once a young boy riding on a beast with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look at what he done. Youngsters, pay attention. The Rasul made dua about 40-50 years before. Do you know Abdullah ibn Abbas? He was only 13 years old when the Rasul passed away, subhanAllah. So he's narrating this hadith. Imagine, he's learned all that knowledge by being around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's all about your knowledge of Allah is Rasul Tawheed. So they sent him to debate the Khawarij. And he spoke with them. I don't want to go into what was said and what they responded, but the point of this is this. 20,000 people on that one day, 20,000 people left their innovation of being upon extremism and they came to the Sunnah of Rasulullah because of one Abdullah ibn Abbas. 20,000 people, brothers and sisters. So look at the dua of Rasulullah. So he said, if you want something, ask Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. If you need something, go to Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. Don't worry about those who are trying to benefit or harm you. No, everything is in the hands of Allah. What is written is going to come to you. And what is going to miss you won't come to you. So don't worry your brain over these things. Have your trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the first lesson from this great Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. The second lesson from our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين Indeed, Muhammad was sent to you as a mercy for all of mankind. So what did this merciful Prophet say to us? The narrator of the hadith is Numan ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala. He is once again a young companion. He is a young companion around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's so young, he became Muslim in Medina. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only lived for about 10 years after making hijrah. So this is how young he is. But he is a narrator in every single book of hadith, 6 books of hadith, you'll find the narrations of this companion. So look, at a young age, at the age of 10, he managed to get this much information and knowledge from being around Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Numan ibn Bashir. And what did he say? Tremendous, tremendous advice from this noble companion. Being around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not turning to the right, not turning to the left. His role model was only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would only care about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would pay attention to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying. We have to cultivate our minds. We have to start behaving like this. That the Rasul is not alive today. But how can we be around him? How can we follow him? How can we make him a role model? And the only way this is going to happen is by following the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Allah inna fil jasad mudgha, that in the body there's a piece of meat, there's a flesh, piece of flesh. Wada sala sala jasad kullu, wada fasala fasala jasad kullu, Allah wa hiya al-qalb. That if this piece of meat in your body, it's straight, then your whole body is straight and upright. And if this piece of flesh is corrupt and dirty, then your entire body becomes dirty. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Ala wa hiya al-qalb, it's the heart. It's the heart. So this is the second piece of advice from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially for our youngsters. And the narrator is a young sahabi. And he remembered this. And he would narrate this hadith when he became older to the people. The heart. Don't let anybody tell you today, youngsters, and they misunderstand this hadith. They say to the sister, you don't need to cover yourself. Don't wear the hijab. Islam is in the heart. They'll whisper in your ear to the young brother, you don't need to grow a beard. Don't worry about it. Islam is in the heart. They say, go to the pub, go to the club. Just don't drink alcohol. Don't worry about it. Islam is in the heart. No, brothers and sisters, no. Don't be like this. This is a misunderstanding of the deen. The hadith doesn't mean this. Pay attention to the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, إِذَا صَلَحَ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ, that if the heart is right, then your actions will be right. Allahu Akbar. So your actions that you do are a manifestation, are dependent on how clean or dirty your heart is. So don't get fooled by these doubts of the people that Islam is only in the heart. I don't need to put my trousers above my ankles. The Rasul used to say to the companions, Irfa idarak, raise your trousers above your ankles. Allah won't speak to the people who drop their trousers below their ankles. Allah won't look at them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Then that part of them will be in the fire. Raise your. Says, no, Islam is in the heart. Sister, why are you not praying 5 times a day? But I feel Allah, look, my heart is clean. No, it doesn't work like that. Your actions are going to be as good as your heart is. So from this hadith, we give the advice. Purify your heart for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that your actions are purified as well. Don't be fooled into thinking that Islam is only inside and not outward. No. Islam is in the heart and it's upon your actions. So in other words, when you go to school and college and university and these places, youngsters in there, they pay attention. Whatever you do, don't lose your Muslim identity. You are Muslim, alhamdulillah, wa samakum al-Muslimin. Allah called you Muslim. You are Muslim before anything else. Don't leave your Muslim identity for anybody or for anything. Because if anything was going to harm you, it's in the hands of Allah anyway. Why are you afraid of it? Have your faith in Allah Azza wa Jalla. Do not lose your Muslim identity. Stick to your Muslim identity. And the only way you're going to do that is if you show Islam openly. Grow a beard. Wear the hijab. Practice Islam. Show you're a good Muslim. By your actions. So, your heart has to be clean. Work on your heart. And therefore work on your actions. This is Islam in its entirety. Don't leave this. This is the second piece of advice from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the people. The third piece of advice from an illustrious companion who's also a youngster when he's narrating this hadith. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. This companion, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about him that in this ummah, nobody knows more about halal or haram other than Mu'adh. The Rasul selected him to be a part of those who collected the Quran and wrote the Quran, subhanAllah. Such a great companion, such a tremendous companion. He said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a very famous hadith, and don't forget, this is one of the very few companions in the hadith, the time is limited, that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his beautiful hand, touched Mu'adh's hand. He held the hand of Mu'adh. Mu'adh says that his hand was cool and softer than silk, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I felt the coolness of the hand of Muhammad upon my hand, Allahu Akbar. He said, Ya Mu'adh, an uhibbuka ya Mu'adh. Imagine this. The Imam of all of mankind, jinn and ins, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, hey young boy Mu'adh, I want to tell you something. What said the Messenger of Allah? Mu'adh, I love you, Mu'adh, Allahu Akbar. Mu'adh, I love you. So when the Prophet loves him, do you not think Allah loves Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala? What does he say? He said that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, Ittaqillahi thamakum. Third piece of advice, brothers and sisters. Intabih, pay attention. Fear Allah wherever you are. Fear Allah wherever you are. وَأَدْبِئْ سَيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ. And when you do something wrong, follow it up with something which is good. Beautiful advice from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would say things which were small, but they would have massive meanings. Fear Allah wherever you are. So you young brother, who's around some friends who are no good, they're telling you to take just one puff of cigarette, just one. Behind the shed in the school somewhere, just one. Who's looking? He's telling you after school today to the sisters, we're going to get together and we're going to go to watch some show and go to some dance. And there's a sickness now, we're going to go to a prom. Brothers and sisters, your Prophet didn't do proms. This is a new sickness. And this is true. They tell the children and the children say, we're going to go to a dance. But remember one thing, Allah is watching. Always have that in your head. The scholars say that if you learn to act upon this hadith, you've almost guaranteed yourself a path to Jannah. Fear Allah wherever you are. Because Allah sees you even though you don't see Him. What's taqwa? Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Taqwa is to do everything which the Prophet said to do out of good and to stay away from everything that he told you to stay away from. This is taqwa. When you do that, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَقُونَ. Maybe you will have taqwa, Allah says in the Quran. So fear Allah wherever you are. وَالْحَيَاءُ شُبَّةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And wherever you are, conduct yourself properly. Have shame of Allah. Shame is a part of faith, the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. So when you dress, don't dress like the badr and the badr al-jahiliyyah al-ula. Don't dress with tight jeans and tight clothes so that people can see your body. No! This is not taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But guess what? There's good news. There's good news in this hadith. Allah Azza wa Jalla is Allahul Ghuyub. He knows everything. Before it even happens. Inna la alimun bidhati sudur. Allah knows what's going on in your heart before you even think about it. This is our creator, Allah Azza wa Jalla. But guess what? There's good news in this hadith for all of us. He said, when you do something bad, wipe it away, wash it away by doing something good. Allahu Akbar. In other words, all of you youngsters, when you do something wrong, run towards the tawbah of Allah, run towards the repentance to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and follow it up with something good. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. It's not all doom and gloom. Islam is not a religion of doom and gloom and destruction. No, it's a religion of positivity. It's a religion of Jannah. Allah wants Jannah for you, He doesn't want Nar for you, He doesn't want the hellfire. He doesn't want it. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the most merciful. إِنَّ لَا كَتَبَ كِتَابًا فَوَعِنَّهُ فَوْقَ الْأَرْشِ. Allah has written with Himself and in a preserved book which is with Him above the throne. Who wrote this? Allah wrote this. رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ عَلَى غَدَبِي. My mercy is greater than my anger. Allahu Akbar. The mercy of Allah is greater than the anger of Allah. So when you make a mistake and your parents and your family, you're scared what they're going to say, be more scared of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Fear Allah wherever you are. Allah has given you the opportunity in this hadith. He says, I am the most merciful. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. If you sin, come back to me. I will wipe away your sins. But you have to make the effort to go to Allah Azza wa Jalla, to turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is a third piece of advice, that Islam is a religion of mercy. The Prophet is a prophet of mercy, Nabiul Rahman. That Allah Azza wa Jalla knows you're going to make mistakes whilst you're at this age. Even when you're older, you have taken that cigarette. Maybe someone even told you to take drugs. You've done something terribly wrong. But have the consciousness, have the taqwa of Allah enough to know that I've done something wrong and now I've got to turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla. You will find Allah Azza wa Jalla. He is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Merciful to everybody generally, but especially merciful to you when you make a sin and you make tawbah to Him, to the believers. Your Lord is not a tyrant. Don't ever have this thought in your head, youngsters, that why me? Allah won't forgive me. I only did it because of no. Just take one step to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Watch how close Allah Azza wa Jalla comes to you through His mercy. So don't despair of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the third piece of advice. The fourth piece of advice from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A tremendous piece of advice that's from our Prophet. And it follows on from the hadith previously. That when do you know whether you've sinned or not? When do you know? There's no manual that's going to tell you straight away in front of you or in your pocket that you've sinned. The Quran tells you, the hadith tells you, but when you're sinning, you don't have that with you normally. How do you know? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told an illustrious companion, وَالْإِثْمُ مَحَاكَ بِهِ نَفْسِكَ. That a sin is when you do it, your inside tells you that you've done something wrong. Your inside speaks to you. It says to you, you've done something wrong. It tells you, you've done something wrong. And you're afraid. يَطَّلِ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. You're afraid. وَكَرِهْتَ يَطَّلِ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. You're afraid that if the people find out about this, what are they going to say? This is the definition of sin, dear youngsters. So when you're making that sin, don't let shaitan come to you and say, well, what's wrong with this? No, no, no. Inshallah, your fitrah, your inside will speak and it will say to you, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. And then you'll maybe hide and do it. Know that this is the biggest sign that what you're doing is a sin in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So stay away from this. You have to know about these things so you stay away from sinning. Because when you fall into sin at a young age, it will sometimes stay with you until you're older. There's a famous narration, and it's authentic, that amongst the Salaf, there was a student of knowledge, that he was sitting in a class one day, and he mocked another student. He spoke ill of another student, made fun of him, like you do sometimes at school. Look at the way he looks, look at the way she dresses, like this. We have to be aware of these things. He says himself from his tongue, Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badr narrates this in one of his books on Istighfar. He says, 40 years later, I saw the result of my sin. How everything that I had memorized of the Quran, I got up one night and I lost it. I knew the Quran in the night, and when I got up in the morning, I lost the entire hifz of the Quran. And he said, I was thinking in my head, what have I done wrong? And then he realized, about 40 years ago, I did this sin. Brothers, وَيَعْفُ أَنْ كَثِيرٌ. Dear youngsters, remember one thing. When you sin, recognize the sin and move away from it, and go away from it as far as you can. But also remember one thing. Your Lord is most merciful. How many sins of us does He overlook? If Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to hold every one of us accountable for every sin that we do, would we even exist? How many sins do we do? He looks at something he shouldn't. He looks at a girl. He messes around. He's got a girlfriend. What's his concept of girlfriend? Fear Allah wherever you are. This is a sin. Move away from these things. These things will not benefit you. Look at the opposite side of the spectrum. That there will be seven under the shade of the throne of Allah Azza wa Jalla, when there's no shade except His. One of them is the young people who spent their time in the masajid, in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Why can't we aspire to be like that, rather than to be like what we see on the TV? Why? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Your role model is not what you see on the TV. Your role model is not what you've read in some newspaper. Your role model is not that billionaire or that person who's won the lottery, who's got a champagne glass in their hands. No. This is not your role model. Your role model is only one, Muhammadur Rasulullah. The greatest of mankind, Muhammadur Rasulullah. I haven't got time to go into the greatness of Muhammad. How can you? How can you even dare to go to the extent of the greatness of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He was so great that even the tree would cry when the tree was away from him. The tree trunk would miss him. This is the greatness of the man called Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't ever forget this. When your mom and dad called you Muhammad so and so, Muhammad Hussein, Muhammad Ilyas, it's not a coincidence. It was put into us, all of us. Look at the books of Asma ul Rijal. How many Abu Muhammad do you find? So many. So many people by the name of Muhammad. Why? Because for us, the greatest man ever to set foot on this earth was none other than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't ever forget this. Your Prophet came and he gave you a message. Stick to that message. He's your only role model. Not that footballer, not that cricket player, not that snooker player. Enjoy your sports. Nobody says don't do sports. But do everything in proportion. Do everything in proportion. Another advice from Rasulullah SAW, which I read in the beginning of the khutbah. The Rasulullah SAW said, the one who does not show mercy to children, and the children who don't respect their elders are not from amongst us. Don't be from amongst those wretched individuals. Those misguided people who disrespect their parents and their elders. So we have a new illness amongst us. I was speaking to a youth not that long ago. He said, Ustad. I said, don't call me Ustad, because in our culture, when you call somebody Ustad, it's normally people who do the Qawwali. But that's a different story. I said, just call me brother, that's enough. For those of you who don't know Qawwali, you don't need to know inshallah. He said, Sheikh, I respect my parents, as for all the other elders, they can go to hell. These were his words. I said, youngster, sit down. I said, your Prophet didn't only tell you to respect your mom and dad only, no. He said to you, respect your elders. He said, why? I said, it's going to be one reason. I said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wal barakatu ma'a akabirikum." Hadith is authentic. That blessings, barakah, is with the elders of your community, and the greatest of the elders, it means the scholars, but it has a general meaning. It means all the elders. Your blessings are with your elders. Ask the people whose elders have passed away, whether they miss them or not. Ask the people where their blessings have gone, when their dad passed away or their uncles passed away. The elders have such a station in our community that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to a companion whose father had passed away, "Are any of his friends alive?" The boy said, "Yes." He said, "Go and serve with the friends of your father, because they have now taken that station." To respect even the friends, the elder friends of your father, is like respecting your father. So don't have this misconception in your head that as long as I'm okay with my mom and dad, who cares about everybody else? I'm going to see that old woman walking on the street. She's going to be carrying 20, 30 bags, and Allah have mercy on her. I don't care about her. I'll just walk past her with my jeans dropped down to my knees. No, brothers. This is not the way. Your Rasul is the best of role models. He didn't teach you this. Your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't teach you this. He said, respect your elders. And what can I say about the respect of parents that you don't already know? What can I say about respect of parents that you don't already know? There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim about a lady who was an abida, dhahida, a one woman who worshipped Allah strongly. But she ended up in the fire. Why? Because she had a cat. Pay attention. And she mistreated the cat. And her deeds gave her no benefit. What do you think then? That your parents have a value more than a cat or less than a cat? One cat. So don't ever disrespect your parents, because I'm telling you today, and you're hearing this from me as a hujja upon all of us, if you disrespect your parents, wallahi, in my heart I believe, you're going to see on this dunya before you go. Don't ever disrespect your parents or your elders. You will see it with your eyes. You will feel it with your body. Allah will show you before you go. Don't ever leave this role model, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there were many of the advices that I had planned, but once again, we run out of time. I hope that we can pay attention to what's being said. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. I'm going to leave you with a last few words, inshallah. Whatever I say, believe you me when I tell you, I just speak from my heart. This is me, it's always been me. And I speak to the youngsters today as if you're my own children, or my own nephew and nieces. Whether you listen or not, it's up to you. Allah has given you the ability to accept what I say or to move away from it. But at least ponder over it when you leave this khutbah today. So I speak from the heart. So I leave you with one last advice. And it's a generic advice from the Quran. And that is, do not miss your salawat. Don't miss your prayers. Don't miss your prayers. Think about a day when you're going to have to cross a bridge which is sharp as a knife and thinner than a hair. And people are going to be falling off it left, right and center. This is not Harry Potter stories. This is true hadith. It's going to happen. It's there. Every single one of us. Some people will run over it. Some people will walk over it. Some people will crawl over it. Some people will literally slide over it. And it's all going to be dependent on how good your prayers were. When you pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla in your salah, don't think for a second that you're doing it because it's a favor to Allah. No! Your salah is for you. When you do good, it's for your own self. It's not for Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah doesn't need it. He is ghani. He is free from any need. So don't think that. Because when you pray, take your time at least. 24 hours in a day, brothers and sisters. And there may well be brothers and sisters here who don't pray their salah regularly. Al-Farq bain al-Muslim wal-Kafir al-Salah. The border between you being a Muslim and you leaving Islam is your prayer. What that means is, if you carry on missing your prayers again and 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 again, don't be surprised if things really badly start going wrong for you. I'm using this language because this is the language of the youngsters. Things are going to go badly wrong. Trust me. Don't be surprised. It may be an illness. It may be something else. It's because you turned away from Allah. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ وَشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Remember Allah, Allah will find, you'll find Allah before you, as I said. وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Call upon Allah with your salah. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى لِلْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Your salah will stop you from falling into major sin at least, inshallah, and from other sins. Don't forget your salah. Your salah is a border between you and leaving Islam. So if you're going to retain your Muslim identity, retain the salah. This is one of the biggest things you can retain. Ustad, I can't get up for Fajr. But you go to the gym and you bench press 50, 60 kilos. But you can't lift one duvet cover, 2 kilos. How weak are we? We're not strong at all. The strong man is not the man who's a wrestler or the man who's great in fighting, but the strong man who is the one who can stay away from sin, who can control his anger. This is a strong person who can go towards good, who can make that little bit of effort. He gave you 24 hours. Each salah takes 5 minutes. 5 salahs in a day. All your Creator wants of you and me is 25 minutes out of 24 hours. 25 minutes out of 24 hours. EastEnders is for 30 minutes. Coronation Street is for 30 minutes. Big Brother is for 4 hours. Allah just wants 25 minutes out of 24 hours. If we can't give Allah that, then why do we want things from Allah? Why do we want from Him, but we want to give nothing back in return? So I'm looking at the time, there's a lot more to say. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide all of us. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless our youth, the youngsters. May Allah Azza wa Jal make them lights for this ummah. May Allah Azza wa Jal make them the coolness of our lives. May Allah Azza wa Jal allow them to retain the Muslim identity. May Allah Azza wa Jal allow them and us to die upon لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك